Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back. I wish to apologize. It's taken so long for me to put a new episode out. I had gotten sick and had a really, really bad cough, and I was waiting for my throat to heal up so that I could actually do some of these voices properly and to give you what you deserve, what you expect. Yeah? I just want to say thanks to the folks that have been contacting me in the last couple months. I really got to say thank you so much for reaching out and letting me know how much you enjoy my podcast. I enjoy the dramatic reading. It really makes me feel good that that is the case. Again, pass it on to all your friends. You can see me, reach me, talk to me, chat. Tell me how much you like it. Tell me how much you don't like it. I want to hear it all because I want to make sure I give you the best product I can. So, as well as I can with what I've got going on here. Let's see. You can reach me at Twitter at Crowe, K-R-O-W-E, underscore, H-V-V-H. On Instagram at Chadwick1224 or on Facebook at Chadwick Daigle, D'AIGLE. Here we are, going to begin another episode of The Legend of Drizzt by R.A. Salvatore. Book 2, Exile, starting with Chapter 13. Enough! The winded Borough Warden gasped at Drizzt, trying to slow his companion. Maga Kamara, Dark Elf! We have left them far behind! Drizzt spun on the Borough Warden, scimitars ready in hand, and angry fires burning still in his lavender eyes. Belwer backed away quickly and cautiously. Calm, my friend, the Sverf Neblin said quietly, but despite the reassurance, the Borough Warden's mithril hands came defensively in front of him. The threat to us is ended! Drizzt breathed deeply to steady himself. Then, realizing that he had not put his scimitars away, promptly slipped them into their sheaths. "Are you all right?" Belwer asked, moving to Drizzt's side. Blood smeared the drow's face from where he had slammed into the side of the walkway. Drizzt nodded. "It was a fight," he cried, tried vainly to explain. "The excitement. I had to let go of..." "You need not explain," Belwer cut him short. "You did fine, Dark Elf. Better than fine. Had it not been for your actions, we all three surely would have fallen."
"It came back to me," Drizzt groaned, searching for the words that could explain that darker part of me. "I had thought it gone."
"It is," the Borough Warden said.
"No," argued Drizzt. "That cruel beast that I have become possessed me fully against those birdmen. It guided my blade savagely and without mercy."
"You guided your own blades," Belwer assured him.
"But the rage," replied Drizzt, "the unthinking rage. All I wanted to do was kill them and hack them down."
"If that was the truth, we would still be there," reasoned the Snurf Neblin. "By your actions, we escaped. There are many more of the birdmen back there to be killed, yet you led the way from the chamber."
"Rage, perhaps, but surely not unthinking rage. You did as you had to, and you did it well, Dark Elf. Better than anyone I have ever seen. Do not apologize to me or to yourself."
Drizzt leaned back against the wall to consider the words. He was comforted by the deep gnome's reasoning and appreciated Belwer's efforts. Still, though, the burning fires of rage he had felt when Guinevar fell into the acid lake haunted him, an emotion so overwhelming that Drizzt had not yet come to terms with it. He wondered if he ever would. In spite of his uneasiness, though, Drizzt felt comforted by the presence of his Sverf Neblin friend. He remembered other encounters of the last years, battles he had been forced to fight alone. Then, like now, the hunter had welled within him, had come to the fore and guided the deadly strikes of his blades. But there was a difference this time that Drizzt could not deny. Before, when he was alone, the hunter did not so steadily depart. Now, with Belwer by his side, Drizzt was fully back in control. Drizzt shook his thick white mane, trying to dismiss any last remnants of the hunter. He thought himself foolish now for the way he had begun the battle against the birdmen, slapping with the flat of his blades. He and Belwer might be in the cavern still if Drizzt's instinctive sight had not emerged. If he had not learned of Guinevere's fall. He looked at Belwer suddenly, remembering the inspiration of his anger. "The statuette!" he cried. "You have it?" Belwer scooped the item out of his packet. "Maga Kamara!" Belwer exclaimed, his round-toned voice edged with panic. "Might the panther be wounded? What effect would the acid have against Guinevere? Might the panther have escaped to the astral plane?" Drizzt took the figurine and examined it in trembling hands, taking comfort in the fact that it was not marred in any way. Drizzt believed that he should wait before calling Guinevere. If the panther was injured, it surely would heal better at rest in its own plane of existence. But Drizzt could not wait to learn of Guinevere's fate. He had placed the figurine down on the ground at his feet and called out softly. Both the drow and the Svefneblin sighed audibly when the mist began to swirl around the onyx statue. Belwer took out his enchanted brooch to better observe the cat. A dreadful sight awaited them. Obediently, faithfully, Guinevere came to Drizzt's summons, but as soon as the drow saw the panther, he knew that he should have left Guinevere alone so that it might lick its wounds. Guinevere's silken black coat was burned and showed more patches of scalded skin than fur. One sleek muscles hung ragged, burned from the bone, and one eye remained closed and horribly scarred. Guinevere stumbled, trying to get to Drizzt's side. Drizzt rushed to Guinevere's instead, dropping to his knees and throwing a gentle hug around the panther's huge neck. "Gwen," he mumbled. "Will it heal?" Belwer asked softly, his voice nearly breaking apart on every word. Drizzt shook his head at a loss. Truly, he knew very little about the panther beyond its abilities as his companion. Drizzt had seen Guinevere wounded before, but never seriously. Now he could only hope that the magical extraplanar properties would allow Guinevere to recover fully. "Go back home," Drizzt said. "Rest and get well, my friend. I will call for you in a few days."
"Perhaps we can give some aid now," Belwer offered.
Drizzt knew the futility of the suggestion.
"Guinevere will heal better at rest," he explained as the cat dissipated into the mist again. "We can do nothing for Guinevere that will carry over to the other plane. Being here in our world taxes the panther's strength. Every minute takes a toll."
Guinevere was gone, and only the figurine remained. Drizzt picked it up and studied it for a long time before he could bear to drop it back into his pocket. A sword flicked the bedroll up into the air, then slashed and cut beside its sister blade until the blanket was no more than a tattered rag. Zaknafian glanced down at the silver coins on the floor. Such an obvious dupe. But the camp and the prospect of Drizzt returning to it had kept Zaknafian at bay for several days. Drizzt Dorden was gone, and he had taken great pains to announce his departure from Blingdenstone. The spirit wraith paused to consider this new bit of information and the necessity of thought, of tapping into the rational being that Zaknafian had been on more than an instinctive level, brought the inevitable conflict between his undead animation and the spirit of the being it held captive. Back in her anteroom, Matron Malice D'Urden felt the struggle within her creation. Zin-Karla. Control of the spirit wraith remained the responsibility of the Matron Mother that the Spider Queen graced with the gift. Malice had to work hard at the appointed task, had to spit off a succession of chants and spells to insinuate herself between the thought processes of the spirit wraith and the emotions and soul of Zaknafian D'Urden. The spirit wraith lurched as he felt the intrusions of Malice's powerful will. It proved to be no contest. In barely a second, the spirit wraith was studying the small chamber Drizzt and one other being, probably a deep gnome, had disguised as a campsite. They were gone now, 10 days out, and no doubt moving away from Blingdenstone with all speed. Probably, the spirit wraith reasoned, moving away from Menzel Baranzen as well. Zaknafian moved outside the chamber into the main tunnel. He sniffed one way, back east toward Menzel Baranzen, then turned and dropped to a crouch and sniffed again. The location spells Malice had imbued upon Zaknafian could not cover such distances, but the minute sensations the spirit wraith received from his inspection only confirmed his suspicions. Drizzt had gone west. Zaknafian walked off down the tunnel. not the slightest limp evident from the wound he had received at the end of a goblin spear, a wound that would have crippled a mortal being. He was more than a 10-day behind Driz, maybe two, but the spirit wraith was not concerned. His prey had to sleep, had to rest, had to eat. His prey was flesh and mortal, and weak.
"What manner of being is it?" Driz whispered to Belwer as they watched the curious bipedal creature filling buckets in a fast-running stream. This entire area of the tunnel was magically lighted, but Driz and Belwer felt safe enough in the shadows of a rocky outcropping a few dozen yards from the stooping robed figure.
"A man," Belwer replied. "Human from the surface."
"He is a long way from home," Driz remarked. "Yet he seems comfortable in his surroundings. I would not believe that a surface dweller could survive in the Underdark. It goes against the teachings I received in the Academy."
"Probably a wizard," Belwer reasoned. "That would account for the light in this region, and it would account for his being here."
Drizzt looked at the Svirfneblin curiously.
"A strange lot are wizards," Belwer explained, as though the truth was self-evident. "Human wizards, even more than any others I've heard tell. Drow wizards practice for power. Svirfneblin wizards practice the arts to better know the stone. But human wizards..."
The deep gnome went on, obvious disdain in his tone.
"Maga Kamara, dark elf, human wizards are a different lot altogether."
"Why do human wizards practice the art of magic at all?" Trist asked.
Belwer shook his head.
"I did not believe that any scholar has yet discovered the reason," he replied in all sincerity. "A strange and dangerously unpredictable race are the humans, and better to be left alone."
"You have met some?"
"A few," Belwer shuddered,
as though the memory was not a pleasant one.
"Traitors from the surface, ugly things and arrogant. The whole of the world is only for them by their thinking."
The resonant voice rang out a bit more loudly than Belwer had intended, and the robed figure by the stream cocked his head in the companion's direction.
"Komonad, little rodents!"
the wizard human called in a language that the companions could not understand. The wizard reiterated the request in another tongue, then in drow, and then in two more unknown tongues, and then in Svirfneblin. He continued on for many minutes. Drizzt and Belwer were looking at each other in disbelief.
"He is a learned man," Drizzt whispered to the deep gnome.
"Rats, probably," the human muttered to himself. He glanced around, seeking some way to flesh out the unseen noisemakers, thinking that the creatures might provide a fine meal.
"Let us learn if he is friend or foe," Drizzt whispered, and he started to move out from the concealment.
Belwer stopped him and looked at him doubtfully, but then, with no recourse other than his own instincts, he shrugged and let Driz move on.
"Greetings, human
so far from home," Driz said in his native language, stepping out from behind the outcropping. The human's eyes went hysterically wide, and he pulled roughly at his scraggly white beard.
"You eat not in the rat!" he shrieked in strained but understandable drow.
"No," Driz said.
He looked back to Belwer. He was moving out to join him.
"Thieves!" the human cried. "Come to steal my home, is you?"
"No," Driz said again.
"Go away!" the human yelled, waving his hands as a farmer would shoo chickens. "Kitten, go on! Quickly now!"
Driz and Belwer exchanged curious glances.
"No,"
Driz said a third time.
"This is my home, stupid dark elvin!" the human spat. "Did I ask you to come in here? Did I send a letter inviting you to join in my home? Or perhaps you and your ugly little friend consider simply it your duty to welcome you to the neighborhood?"
"Careful, drow," Belwer whispered as the human rambled on. "He's a wizard for sure, and a shaky one, even by human standards."
"Or maybe, but the drow aren't deep gnome races fear of me?"
the human mused, more to himself than to the intruders.
"Yes, of course. They have heard that I, Brister Fendelstick, decided to take to the corners of the Underdark and have joined the forces to protect themselves against me. Yes, yes, it all seems so clear and so pitiful to me now."
"I have fought wizards before," Driz replied to Belwer under his breath. "Let us hope that we can settle this without blows. Whatever must happen, though, know that I have no desire to return the way we came."
Belwer nodded his grim agreement as Driz turned back to the human.
"Perhaps we can convince him simply to let us pass," Driz whispered.
The human trembled on the verge of an explosion. "Fine!"
he screamed suddenly. Then do not get in the way!
Driz saw his error and thinking that he might reason with this one. The drow started forward, meaning to close in before the wizard could launch any attacks. But the human had learned to survive in the Underdark, and his defenses were in place long before Drizzt and Belwar ever appeared around the rocky outcropping. He waved his hands and uttered a single word that the companions could not understand. A ring on his finger glowed brightly and loosed a tiny ball of fire up into the air between him and the intruders.
"Welcome to my home, den!" the wizard yelled triumphantly. "Play with this!"
He snapped his fingers and vanished.
Drizzt and Belwar could feel the explosive energy gathering around the glowing orb.
"Run!" the Burrow Warden cried, and he turned to flee. In Blingenstone, most of the magic was illusionary, designed for defense, but in Menzel Baranzen, where Drizzt had learned of magic, the spells were undeniably offensive. Drizzt knew the wizard's attack, and he knew that in these narrow and low corridors, flight would not be an option.
"No!" he cried, and he grabbed the back of Belwar's leather jack and pulled the deep gnome along straight toward the glowing orb. Belwar knew to trust Drizzt, and he turned and ran willingly beside his friend. The Burrow Warden understood the drow's plan as soon as his eyes managed to tear away from the spectacle of the orb. Drizzt was making for the stream. Their friends dived headlong into the water, bouncing and scraping on the stones just as the fireball exploded. A moment later, they rose up from the steaming water, wisps of smoke rising from the back of their clothing, which had not been submerged. They coughed and sputtered, for the flames had temporarily stolen the air from the chamber, and the residual heat from the glowing stones nearly overwhelmed them.
"Humans!" Belwar muttered grimly.
He pulled himself from the water and shook vigorously. Drizzt came out beside him and couldn't hide his laughter. The deep gnome, though, found no levity at all in the situation.
"The wizard," he pointedly reminded Drizzt.
Drizzt dropped into a crouch and glanced nervously all around. They set off at once.
"Home!" Belwar proclaimed a couple of days later. The two friends looked down on a narrow ledge at a wide and high cavern that housed an underground lake. Beside them was a three-chambered cave with only a single tiny entrance easily defensible.
Drizzt climbed the 10 or so feet to stand by his friend on the topmost ledge.
"Possibly," he tentatively agreed, "though we left the wizard only a few days' walk from here."
"Forget the human," Belwar snarled, glancing over the burn mark on his precious jack.
"And I am not so fond of having so large a pool only a few feet from our door," Drizzt continued.
"With fish in his fill," the Burrow Warden argued, "and with mosses and plants that will keep our bellies full, and water that seems clean enough."
"But such an oasis will attract visitors," Drizzt reasoned. "We would find little rest, I fear."
Belwar looked down the sheer wall to the floor of the large cavern.
"Never a problem," he said with a snicker. "The bigger ones cannot get up here, and the smaller ones, well, I have seen the cut of your blades, and ye have seen the strength of my hands. About the smaller ones, I shall not worry."
Drizzt liked the Svirfnevlin's confidence, and he had to agree that he had found no other place suitable for the use as a dwelling. Water, hard to find and more often than not undrinkable, was a precious commodity in the Underdark. With the lake and the growth about it, Drizzt and Belwar would never have to travel to find a meal. Drizzt was about to agree, but then a movement down by the water caught his and Belwar's attention.
"And crabs!" spouted the Svirfnevlin, obviously not having the same reaction to the sight as the drow. "Maga Kamara, Dark Elf! Crabs! As fine a meal as you'll ever find!"
Indeed, it was a crab that had slipped out of the lake, a gigantic 12-foot monster with pincers that could snap a human, or elf or gnome, fully in half. Drizzt looked at Belwar incredulously.
"A meal?" he asked.
Belwar's smile rolled right up around his crinkled nose as he banged his hammer and pick hands together. They ate crab meat that night, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. And Drizzt soon was quite willing to agree that the three-chambered cave by the underground lake made a fine home.
The spirit wraith paused to consider the red glowing fields, and in life, Zaknathian Dorwarden would have avoided such a patch, respecting the inherent dangers of odd glowing brooms and luminous mosses. But to the spirit wraith, the trail was clear.
Drizzt had come this way. The spirit wraith waded in, ignoring the noxious puffs of deadly spores that shot up at him with every step, choking spores that filled the lungs of unfortunate creatures. But Zaknafian did not draw breath. Then came the rumbling as the grubber rushed to protect its domain. Zaknafian fell into a defensive crouch. The instincts of the being he once had been sensing the danger, the grubber rolled into the glowing moss patch, but noticed no intruder to chase away. It moved in anyway, thinking it a meal of Baruchis might not be such a bad thing. When the grubber reached the center of the chamber, the spirit wraith let his levitation spell dissipate. Zaknafian landed on the monster's back, locking his legs fast. The grubber thrashed and thundered about the room, but Zaknafian's balance did not waver. The grubber's hide was thick and tough, able to repel all but the finest of weapons, which Zaknafian possessed. "What was that?" Belwar asked one day, stopping his work on the new door blocking their cave opening. Down by the pool, Drizzt apparently had heard the sound as well, for he had dropped the helmet he was using to fetch some water and had drawn both scimitars. He held his hand up to keep the Borough Warden silent, then picked his way back to the ledge for a quiet conversation. The sound, a loud clacking noise, came again. "You know it, Dark Elf?" Belwar asked softly. Drizzt nodded. "Of course," he replied, "possessing the keenest hearing in all the Underdark." Drizzt kept his recollections of his sole encounter with this type of monster to himself. It had occurred during a patrol exercise, with Drizzt leading his academy class through the tunnels outside Menza Baranzin. The patrol came upon a group of the giant bipedal creatures with exoskeletons as hard as plated metal armor and powerful beaks and claws. The drow patrol, mostly through Drizzt's exploits, had won the day, but what Drizzt remembered most keenly was his belief that the encounter had been an exercise planned by the master of the academy, and that they had sacrificed an innocent drow child to the hookcores for the sake of realism. "Let us find them," Drizzt said quietly but grimly. Belwar paused to catch his breath when he saw the dangerous simmer in the drow's lavender eyes. "Hookcores are dangerous rivals," Drizzt explained, noticing the deep gnome's hesitation. "We cannot allow them to roam this region." Following the clacking noises, Drizzt and the had little trouble closing in. He silently picked his way around a final bend with Belwar close by his side. In a wider section of the corridor stood a single hook whore, banging its heavy claws rhythmically against the stone as a Svefneblin miner might use his pickaxe. Drizzt held Belwar back, indicating that he could dispatch the monster quickly if he could sneak on it without being noticed. Belwar agreed, but remained poised to join in at the first opportunity or need. The hook horror, obviously engaged in its game with the stone wall, did not hear or see the approaching stealthy drow. Drizzt came right in beside the monster, looking for the easiest and fastest way to dispatch it. He saw only one opening in the exoskeleton, a slit between the creature's breastplate and its wide neck. Getting a blade in there would be a bit of a problem, though, for the hook horror was nearly 10 feet tall. But the hunter found the solution. He came in hard and fast at the hook horror's knee, butting with both his shoulders and bringing his blades up into the creature's crotch. The hook horror's legs buckled and it tumbled back over the drow. As agile as any cat, Drizzt rolled out and sprang on top of the felled monster, both his blades coming tip in at the slit in the armor. He could have finished the hook horror at once. His scimitars easily could have slipped through the bony defenses, but Drizzt saw something. Terror? On the hook horror's face, something in the creature's expression that should not have been there. He forced the hunter back inside, took control of his swords, and hesitated for just a second, long enough for the hook horror, to Drizzt's absolute amazement, to speak in clear and proper drow language.
"Please do not kill me."
Chapter 14. Clacker. The scimitar slowly eased away from the hook horror's neck.
"Not as I appear,"
the monster tried to explain in its halting speech. With each uttered word, the hook horror seemed to become more comfortable with the language.
"I am Peck."
"Peck," Belwar Goth moving up to Driz's side. The Swift Nebulan looked down at the trapped monster with an understandable confusion.
"A bit big you are for a peck," he remarked.
Driz looked from the monster to Belwar, seeking some explanation. The drow had never heard the word before.
"Rock children," Belwar explained to him. "Strange little creatures, hard as a stone and living for no other reason than to work it."
"Sounds like a Swift Nebulan," Driz replied. Belwar paused a moment to figure out if he had been complimented or insulted. Unable to discern, the Burrow Warden continued somewhat cautiously.
"There are not many peck about, and fewer still that look like this one."
He cast a doubting eye at the Hakor, then gave Driz a look that told the drow to keep his scimitars at the ready.
"Peck! No more!"
The Hakor stammered, clear remorse evident in its throaty voice.
"Back no more."
"What is your name?" Drizzt asked, hoping to find some clues to the truth. The Hakor thought for a moment, then shook its great head helplessly.
"Back no more,"
the monster said again, and it purposely tilted its beaked face backward, widening the crack in its exoskeleton armor and inviting Drizzt to finish the strike.
"You cannot remember your name?"
Drizzt asked, not so anxious to kill the monster. The Hakor neither moved nor replied. Drizzt looked to Belwar for advice, but the Burrowarden only shrugged helplessly.
"What happened?"
Drizzt pressed the monster.
"You must tell me what happened to you."
The Hakor struggled to reply.
"Wizard. Evil wizard."
Somewhat schooled in the ways of magic and in the unscrupulous uses its practitioners often put to it, Driz began to understand the possibilities and began to believe this strange creature.
"A wizard changed you?"
he asked, already guessing the answer. He and Belwar exchanged amazed expressions.
"I have heard of such spells."
"As have I," agreed the Burrow Warden. "Maga Kamara, Dark Elf. I have seen the wizards of Blingdenstone use similar magic when we needed to infiltrate..."
The deep gnome paused, suddenly remembering the heritage of the dark elf he was addressing.
"Menza Branson," Triss finished with a chuckle.
Belwar cleared his throat, a bit embarrassed, and turned back to the monster.
"A peck you once were," he said, needing to hear the whole explanation spelled out in one clear thought. "And some wizard changed you into a hook horror."
"True,"
the monster replied.
"Peck no more."
"Where are your companions?"
the Swift Nebulan asked.
"Where are your companions?" the Swift Nebulan asked. "If what I have heard of your people is true, Peck do not often travel alone."
Dead,
said the monster.
"Evil.
Human wizard?"
Drizzt prompted. The great beak bobbed in an excited nod.
"Yes, man."
"And the wizard then left you to your pains as a hook horror," Belwar said.
He and Driz looked long and hard at each other, and then the drow stepped away, allowing the hook horror to rise.
"I wish you would kill me,"
the monster then said, twisting up into a sitting position. It looked at its clawed hands with obvious disgust.
The stone lost to me."
Belwar raised his own crafted hands in response.
"So had I once believed," he said. "You are alive, and no longer are you alone. Come with us to the lake, where we can talk some more."
Presently the hook horror agreed and began, with much effort, to raise its quarter-ton bulk from the floor. Amid the scraping and shuffling of the creature's hard exoskeleton, Belwar prudently whispered to Driz,
"Keep your blades at the ready."
The hook horror finally stood, towering to its imposing 10-foot height, and the drow did not argue Belwar's logic. For many hours, the hook horror recounted its adventures to the two friends. As amazing as the story was, he had monster's growing acclamation to the use of language. This fact, and the monster's descriptions of its previous existence, of a life tapping and shaping the stone in an almost holy reverence, further convinced Belwar and Driz of the truth of its bizarre tale. His own similar experiences so clear in his mind, Driz understood the sentiments completely.
How long have you been this way? Belver asked. The hook whore shrugged its huge chest and shoulders rattling through the movement.
10 days. Months.
It said.
I do not remember. The time is lost to me.
Driz put his face in his hands and exhaled a deep sigh. In full empathy and sympathy with the unfortunate creature, Driz too had felt so lost and alone out in the wilds. He too knew the grim truth of such a fate. Belwer patted the drow softly with his hammer hand.
And where are you now are you going? The borough warden asked the hookor. Or where are you coming from?
Chasing the...
The hookor replied, fumbling helplessly over the last word, as though the mere mention of the evil wizard pained the creature greatly.
But so much is lost to me. I would find him with little effort if I was still back. The stones would tell me where to look. But I cannot talk to them very often anymore.
The monster rose from its seat on the stone.
I will go,
it said determinedly.
You are not safe with me around.
You will stay, Driz said suddenly with a tone of finality that could not be denied.
I cannot control.
The hookor tried to explain. You need not to worry, Belwers said. He pointed to the doorway up on the ledge at the side of the cavern. Our home is up there with a door too small for you to get through. Down here by the lake you must rest until we all decide our best course of action. The hookor was exhausted, and the Serf Neblin's reasoning seemed sound enough. The monster dropped heavily back to the stone, curled up as much as its bulky body would allow. Driz and Belwer took their leave, glancing back at their strange new companion with every step.
Clacker, Belwer said suddenly, stopping Driz beside him. With great effort, the hookor rolled over to consider the deep gnome, understanding that Belwer had uttered the word in his direction.
That is what we shall call you if you have no objections, the Serf Neblin explained to the creature and to Driz.
Clocker.
A fitting name, Driz remarked.
It is a good name,
agreed the hookor. But silently the creature wished that it could remember its peck name, the name that rolled on and on like a rounded boulder in a sloping passage, and spoke prayers to the stone with each growling syllable.
We will widen the door, Driz said when he and Belwer got inside the cave complex, so that Clacker might enter and rest beside us in safety.
No, Dark Elf, argued the Borough Warden. That we shall not do.
He is not safe up there beside the water, Driz replied. Monsters will find him.
Safe enough he is, but snorted Belwer. What monster would willingly attack a hook horror?
Belwer understood Driz's sincere concern, but he understood, too, the danger in Driz's suggestions.
I have witnessed such spells, the Serf Neblin said somberly. They are called polymorph. Immediately comes the change of the body, but the change of the mind can take time.
What are you saying?
Driz's voice edged on panic.
Clacker is still a peck, replied Belwer. Trapped, though he is, in the body of a hookor. But soon, I fear, Clacker will be a peck no more. A hookor will he become, body and mind, and however friendly he might be, Clacker will come to think of us as no more than another meal.
Driz started to argue, but Belwer silenced him with one sobering thought.
Would you enjoy having to kill him, Dark Elf?
Driz turned away.
His tale is familiar to me.
Not as much as you believe, replied Belwer.
I, too, was lost,
Driz reminded the Borough Warden.
So you believe, Belwer answered. But that which was essentially Driz to Warden remained within you, my friend. You were as you had to be, as the situation around you forced you to be. This is different. Not just in body, but in very essence will Clacker become a hookor. His thoughts will be the thoughts of a hookor and Maga Kamara. He will not return your grant of mercy when you are the one on the ground.
Driz could not be satisfied. Though he could not refute the deep gnome's blunt logic, he moved into the complex's left-hand chamber that once he had claimed as his bedroom, and fell into his hammock. "Alas for you, Drizdorn," Pilmer mumbled under his breath as he watched the drow's heavy movements laden with sorrow. "And alas for our doomed peck friend." The borough warden went into his own chamber and crawled into his hammock, feeling terrible about the whole situation, but determined to remain coldly logical and practical. Whatever the pain, for Belwer understood that Drizzt felt a kinship to the unfortunate creature, a potentially fatal bond founded in empathy for Clacker's loss of self. Later that night, an excited Drizzt shook the Svefneblin from his slumber. "We must help him," Drizzt whispered harshly. Belwer wiped an arm across his face and tried to orient himself. His sleep had been uneasy, filled with dreams in which he had cried, "Biv Rip!" in an impossibly loud voice, then had proceeded to bash the life out of his newest companion. "We must help him," Drizzt said again, even more frantic, forcefully. Belwer could tell by the drow's haggard appearance that Drizzt had found no sleep this night. "I am no wizard," the borough warden said. "Neither are—" "Then we will find one," Drizzt growled. "We will find the human that cursed Clacker and force him to reverse the Dwarmer. We saw him by the stream only a few days ago. He cannot be so far away." "A mage capable of such magic will prove no easy foe," Belwer was quick to reply. "Have you so quickly forgotten the fireball?" Belwer glanced at the wall to where his scorched leather jack hung on a peg as if to convince himself. "The wizard is beyond us, I fear," Belwer mumbled, but Driz couldn't see the lack of conviction in the borough ward's expression as he spoke the words. "Are you so quick to condemn Clacker?" Driz asked bluntly. A wide smile began to spread over Driz's face as he saw the Svefneblin weakening. "Is this the same Belwer Disengulp who took in a lost drow? That most honored borough warden who would not give up hope for a dark elf that everyone else considered dangerous and beyond help?" "Go to sleep, dark elf," Belwer retorted, pushing Drizzt away with his hammer hand. "Wise advice, my friend," said Drizzt. "And you sleep well. We may have a long road ahead of us." "Maga Kamara," huffed the taciturn Svefneblin, stubbornly holding to his facade of gruff practicality. He rolled away from Drizzt and was soon snoring. Drizzt noted that Belwer's snores now sounded from the depths of a deep and contented sleep.
Clacker beat against the wall with his clawed hands, tapping the stone relentlessly. "Not again," a flustered Belwer whispered to Drizzt. "Not out here." Drizzt sped along the winding corridor, homing in on the monotonous sound. "Clacker," he called softly, when the hookor was in sight. The hookor turned to face the approaching drow, clawed hands wide and ready at it, and a growing hiss slipping through his great beak. A moment later, Clacker realized what he was doing and abruptly stopped. "Why must you continue that banging?" Drizzt asked him, trying to pretend even to himself that he had not seen Clacker's battle stance. "We are out in the wilds, my friend. Such sounds invite visitors." The giant monster's head drooped.
"You should not have come out with me," Clacker said. "I cannot. Too many things will happen that I cannot control.
Drizzt reached up and put a comforting hand on Clacker's bony elbow. "It was my fault," the drow said, understanding the Hakor's meaning. Clacker had apologized for turning dangerously on Drizzt. "We should not have gone off in different directions," Drizzt continued, "and I should not have approached you so quickly and without warning. We will all stay together now, though our search may prove longer, and Belwer and I will help you to maintain control." Clacker's beaked face brightened.
"It does feel so very good to tap stone," he proclaimed.
Clacker banged a claw on the rock as if to jolt his memory. His voice and his gaze trailed away as he thought of his past life, the one that the wizard had stolen from here. All the peck's days had been spent tapping the stone, shaping the stone, talking to the precious stone. "You will be peck again," Drizzt promised. Belwer, approaching from the tunnel, heard the drow's words and was not so certain. They had been out in the tunnels for more than a 10-day and had found not a sign of the wizard. The borough warden took some comfort in the fact that Clacker seemed to be winning back part of himself from his monstrous state, seemed to be regaining a measure of his peck personality. Belwer had watched the same transformation in Drizzt just a few 10 days before, and beneath the
survivalistic barriers of the hunter that the Drizzt had become, Belwer had discovered his closest friend. But the Borough Warden took care not to assume the same results with Placker. The Hook Horror's condition was the result of powerful magic, and no amount of friendship could reverse the workings of the wizard's dwomer. In finding Drizzt and Belwer, Clacker had been granted a temporary, and only temporary, reprieve from a miserable and undeniable fate. They moved on through the tunnels of the Underdark for the several more days without any luck. Clacker's personality still did not deteriorate, but Drizzt, who had left the cave complex beside the lake so full of hope, began to feel the weight of increasing reality. Then, just as Drizzt and Belwer had begun discussing returning to their home, the group came into a fair-sized cavern littered with rubble from a recent collapse of the ceiling.
"He has been here,"
Clacker cried, and he offhandedly lifted a huge boulder and tossed it against a distant wall, where it shattered into so much rubble.
"He has been here!"
The Hook Horror rushed about, smashing stone and throwing boulders with growing explosive rage. "How can you know?" Belwer demanded, trying to stop his giant friend's tirade. Clacker pointed up to the ceiling.
"He did this! He did this!"
Drizzt and Belwer exchanged concerned glances. The chamber's ceiling, which had been about 15 feet up, was gouged and blasted, and in its center loomed a massive hole that extended up to twice the ceiling's former height. If magic had caused that devastation, it was powerful magic indeed.
"The wizard did this,"
Belwer echoed. He cast that stubbornly practical look he had perfected toward Drizzt one more time.
"His tower,"
Clacker replied, and rushed off about the chamber to see if he could discern which exit the wizard had taken. Now, Drizzt and Belwer were completely at a loss, and Clacker, when he finally took the time to look at them, realized their confusion.
"The
wizard," Belwer put in impatiently. Clacker took no offense, but appreciated the assistance even.
"The wizard has a tower,"
the excited Hakora tried to explain.
"A great iron tower that he takes with him, setting it up wherever it is convenient."
Clacker looked up at the ruined ceiling.
"Even if it does not always fit."
"He carries a tower?" Belwer asked, his long nose crinkling right up over itself. Clacker nodded excitedly, but then didn't take the time to explain further, for he found the wizard's trail, a clear boot print in a bed of moss leading down another of the corridors. Drizzt and Belwer had to be satisfied with their friend's incomplete explanations, for the chase was on. Drizzt took up the lead, using all of the skills he had learned in the Drow Academy and had heightened during his decade alone in the Underdark. Belwer, with his innate racial understanding of the Underdark and his magically lighted brooch, kept track of their direction, and Clacker, in those instances when he fell more completely back into his former self, asked the stones for guidance. The three of them passed another blasted chamber and another chamber that showed clear signs of the tower's presence, though its ceiling was high enough to accommodate that structure. A few days later, the three companions turned into a wide and high cavern, and far back from them, beside a rushing stream, loomed the wizard's home. Again, Drizzt and Belwer looked at each other helplessly, for the tower stood fully 30 feet high and 20 across, its smooth metallic walls mocking their plans. They took separate and cautious routes to the structure and were even more amazed, for the tower's walls were pure adamantite, the hardest metal in all the world. They found only a single door, small and barely showing its outline in the perfection of the tower's craftsmanship. They didn't have to rest to know that it was secure against unwelcome visitors.
"He is in there,"
the Clacker snarled, running his claws over the door in desperation.
"Then he will have to come out," Drizzt reasoned, "and when he does, we will be waiting for him."
The plans did not satisfy the Peck. With a rumbling roar that echoed throughout the region, Clacker threw his huge body against the tower door, then jumped back and slammed it again. The door didn't even shudder under the pounding, and it quickly became obvious to the Deep Gnome and the Drow that Clacker's body would certainly lose the battle. Drizzt tried vainly to calm his giant friend. while Belwer moved off to the side and began a familiar chant. Finally, Clacker tumbled down in a heap, sobbing in exhaustion and pain and helpless rage. Then Belwer, his mithril hands sparking whenever they touched, waded in.
"Move aside," the Burrow Warden demanded. "I have come too far to be stopped by a single door."
Belwer moved directly in front of the small door and slammed his enchanted hammer hand at it with all his strength. A blinding flash of blue sparks burst out in every direction. The deep gnome's muscled arms worked furiously, scraping and bashing. But when Belwer had exhausted his energy, the tower door showed only the slightest of scratches and superficial burns. Belwer banged his hands together in disgust, showering himself in harmless sparks. And Clacker agreed wholeheartedly with his frustrated sentiments. Driz, though, was more angry and concerned than his friends. Not only had the wizard's tower stopped them, but the wizard inside undoubtedly knew of their presence. Driz moved about the structure cautiously, noting the many arrow slits. Creeping below one, he heard a soft chant, and though he couldn't understand the wizard's words, he could guess easily enough the human's intent.
"Run!" he yelled into his companions, and then, in sheer desperation, he grabbed the nearby stone and hauled it up into the opening of the arrow slit.
Luck was with the drow, for the wizard completed the spell just as the rock slammed against the opening. A lightning bolt roared out, shattering the stone and sent Driz flying, but it reflected back into the tower.
"Damnation! Damnation!" came a squeal from inside the tower. "I hate when that happens!"
Belwer and Clacker rushed over to help their fallen friend. The drow was only stunned, and he was up and ready before they ever got there.
"Oh, you is going to pay dearly for that one. Yes, you is,"
came a cry from within.
"Run away,"
cried the Burrow Warden, and even the outraged Hookcore was in full agreement. But as soon as Belwer looked into the drow's lavender eyes, he knew that Drizzt would not flee. Clacker, too, backed away a step from the fires gathering within Drizzt to Warden.
"Maga Kamara, Dark Elf, we cannot get in,"
the Swift Neblin prudently reminded Drizzt. Drizzt pulled out the onyx figurine and held it against the arrow slit, blocking it with his body.
"We shall see," he growled, and then he called to Guinevar.
The black mist swirled about and found only one empty path clear from the figurine.
"I will kill you all," cried the unseen wizard.
The next sound from within the tower was a low panther's growl, and then the wizard's voice rang out again.
"I could be wrong."
"Open the door," Drizzt screamed. "On your life, foul wizard, never."
Guinevar roared again, then the wizard screamed and the door swung wide. Drizzt led the way. They entered a circular room, the tower's bottom level. An iron ladder ran up its center to a trap door. The wizard's attempted escape route. The human hand hadn't quite made it, however, and he hung upside down off the back side of the ladder, one leg hooked at the knee through a rung. Guinevar, appearing fully healed from the ordeal in the acid lake and looking again like the most magnificent of panthers, perched on the other side of the ladder, casually mouthing the wizard's calf and foot.
"Do come in," the wizard cried, throwing his arms out wide, then drawing them back to pull his drooping robe up from his face.
Wisps of smoke rose from the remaining tatters of the lightning-blackened robe.
"I am Breast of Fendelstick. Welcome to my Huber home."
Belwer kept Clacker at the door, holding his dangerous friend back with his hammer hand, while Driz moved up to take charge of the prisoner. The drow paused long enough to regard his dear feline companion, for he hadn't summoned Guinevar since that day when he had sent the panther away to heal.
"You speak drow," Driz remarked, grabbing the wizard by the collar and agilely spinning him down to his feet.
Driz eyed the man suspiciously. He had never seen a human before the encounter in the corridor by the stream. To this point, the drow wasn't overly impressed.
"Many tongues is known to me," replied the wizard, brushing himself off.
And then, as his proclamation was meant to carry some great importance, he added,
"I am Brist of Fendelstick."
"Do you name Peck among your languages?" Belwer growled from the door.
"Peck,"
the wizard replied, spitting the word with apparent distaste.
"Peck," Driz snarled, emphasizing his response by snapping the edge of his scimitar to within an inch of the wizard's neck.
Clacker took a step forward, easily sliding the blocking Swift Neblin across the smooth floor.
"My large friend was once a peck," Driz explained. "You should know that."
"Peck," the wizard spat. Useless little things, and always they are east in the way.
Clacker took another long stride forward.
Beyond with the drow,
Belwer begged, futilely leaning against the huge hookor.
Give him back his identity, Driz demanded. Make our friend a peck again, and be quick about it.
Bah! Snorted the wizard. He is better off with the east.
The unpredictable wizard human replied.
Why would anyone wish to remain a peck?
Clacker's breath came in a loud gasp. The sheer strength of his third stride sent Belwer skidding off to the side.
Now, wizard, Driz warned. From the ladder, Guinevere issued a long and hungry growl.
Oh, very well, very well, the wizard spouted, throwing up his hands in disgust. Wretched peck!
He pulled an immense book from a pocket, much too small to hold it. Driz and Belwer smiled at each other, thinking victory at hand, but then the wizard made a fatal mistake.
I should have killed him as I killed the others,
he mumbled under his breath, too low for even Driz standing right beside him to make out the words. But Hookor's had the keenest hearing of any creature in the Underdark. A swipe of Clacker's enormous claw sent Belwer spiraling across the room. Driz, spinning about at the sound of heavy steps, was thrown aside by the momentum of the rushing giant, the drow scimitars flying from his hands. And the wizard, the foolish wizard, patted Clacker's impact with the iron ladder, a jolt so vicious that it bowed the ladder and sent Guinevere flying off the other side. Whether the initial crushing blow of the Hookora's 500-pound body had killed the wizard was academic by the time either Driz or Belwer had recovered enough to call out to their friend. Clacker's hooks and beaks slashed and snapped relentlessly, tearing and crushing. Every now and then came a sudden flash and puff of smoke as another of the many magical items that the wizard carried snapped apart. And when the Hookor had played out his rage and looked around at his three companions, surrounding him in battle-ready stances, the lump of gore at Clacker's feet was no longer recognizable. Belwer started to remark that the wizard had agreed to change Clacker back, but he didn't see the point. Clacker fell to his knees and dropped his face into his claws, hardly believing what he had done.
Let us be gone from this place, Driz said, sheathing his blades.
Search it, Belwer suggested, thinking that the marvelous treasures might be hidden within. But Driz could not remain for another moment. He had seen too much of himself in the unbridled rage of his giant companion, and the smell of the bloodied heap filled him with frustrations and fears that he could not tolerate. With Guinevere in tow, he walked from the tower. Belwer moved over and helped Clacker to his feet, then guided the trembling giant from the structure. Stubbornly practical, though, the Burrow Warden made his companions wait around while he scoured the tower, searching for items that might aid them, or for the command word that would allow him to carry the tower along. But either the wizard was a poor man, which Belwer doubted, or he had his treasures safely hidden away, possibly in some other plane of existence. For the Svirfneblin found nothing beyond a simple water skin and a pair of worn boots. If the marvelous adamantite tower had a command word, it had gone to the grave with the wizard. Their journey home was a quiet one, lost in private concerns, regrets, and memories. Driz and Belwer did not have to speak their most pressing fear. In their discussion with Clacker, they both had learned enough of the normally peaceful race of Peck to know that Clacker's murderous outburst was far removed from the creature he had once been. But the deep gnome and the drow had to admit to themselves Clacker's actions were not so far removed from the creature he was fast becoming.
And that is two chapters. Thank you, everyone. We are finished with this episode. Yay! Woo! Thank you, everyone, again for listening in. I, again, wish to say thank you to those of you who have reached out to me and letting me know how well you enjoy this podcast. Thank you for bearing with the beginning of the podcast. As I said before, I understand it was pretty rough to listen to, but I've grown a little bit more. I've got some better equipment and better products in which I can go ahead and take care of this for you and give you a much better product than what I had started with. Again, I hope you enjoy. My name is Chadwick Daigle, and this is The Legend of Driz, Book 2, Exile, by R.A. Salvatore.